This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
And I want to welcome to the program, Holly Otterbein is a writer for Politico, and I know her from being in Philly. So, hey, Holly, how are you?
Hey, Rich. How you doing?
Good. Now, are you in Iowa right now?
I'm not. I will be there tomorrow.
You'll be there tomorrow. Okay. So what's fascinating, of course, is that you being from Philly and covering Pennsylvania politics, a must-win state, but Iowa being the first caucus of the nation, you're getting a front row seat. New York Times today, stuck in the Senate as their 2020 rivals have Iowa to themselves because, obviously, Bernie Sanders, who I know you've been covering extensively, and Elizabeth Warren are stuck in Washington. So what's that like, and how's that affecting their campaigns?
Yeah, so I was in Iowa with Sanders recently, where he actually told people at an event, you know, he would rather be in Iowa with them campaigning than, you know, having to be at the upcoming trial that he was anticipating. And Warren has said similar things, saying, of course, it makes a difference that she's off the trail. I think it's really interesting that President Trump and some other Republican leaders have basically tried to capitalize on this and kind of stoke party division. With Trump saying, you know, the Democratic establishment is rigging the election against Sanders again. He did this in 2016, which I thought was a very clever political move, you know, basically trying to reach out to Sanders voters and anti-establishment voters then, and was able to win some of those Sanders voters over eventually. So I see it as President Trump trying to make a similar inroads with Sanders voters this time. What's different is that, of course, in 2016, Sanders and his team really leaned into those claims of it being rigged against them, right? They really aren't this time yet. Sanders put out a statement saying, you know, let's be clear about who's rigging what, and then, you know, talked about impeachment and everything that's going on there. So I'm fascinated by the fact that he is not jumping on that as of now.
Yeah, I am too, Holly, and I would look at it from the perspective of, since Bernie has always been having to fight the establishment, why not come out and say, look, you know, they sat on these impeachment articles for 33 days, and they finally do the trial right smack dab in the middle of the Iowa caucus and sideline me, and is this a DNC establishment doing what they did to me in 2016? I mean, why not go down that road? What does he have to lose? There really is no DNC establishment per se to run against, so he can just kind of create it like the boogeyman. What's stopping him?
I think that part of what's going on is that he is trying to reach out to more mainstream Democrats. In 2016, I think initially he did not believe that he could win. And then by the time that he thought he could, it was kind of too late, right? And so he operated sort of by a different set of rules. He wasn't entirely in it to win it. I think this time he is. And so now he's, you know, surging in some polls. And I think he realizes he needs to grow his base, and that includes some more mainstream Democrats. So I read that, particularly that statement he put out after President Trump talked about it being rigged, as a way to try to reach out to the more traditional part of the party.
Holly Otterbein joins me right now. She's reporting on the 2020 race for Politico. She's following Bernie and the progressive candidates up there on the campaign trail right now. She'll be in Iowa. And let's talk about the progressive left for a second, right, since you cover them for Politico. I would think that if Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren are fighting for that same slice of that pie, the two of them are going to wind up just opening up a lane for some other Democrat to be the nominee, right? I mean, they must have figured that out. Even though there's a lot more socialist progressive voters in the base of the Democrat Party than there ever were, there's still a lot of mainstream Democrats who think that Bernie and Elizabeth Warren's policies are just too far left to win a general election. Ed Rendell, great example. I mean, Rendell came on my show a few weeks ago and said, you can't win the presidency by Medicare for all. It's not a winner. Can't do it. So if these two are competing for the same slice of that pie, and then here comes the moderate up the middle lane, who, you know, who's pretending to be the moderate for that purpose. Doesn't the progressive base, though, at some point say enough is enough, and we keep getting sidelined by the DNC, and we can't keep going down this road? I mean, at what point does the AOCs of the party say we sit this one out in 2020, we try again in 2024?
That's a great question. And I mean, you saw after Sanders and Warren had that moment after the debate, last week, right, where they basically both called each other a liar over the meeting where Warren claims that Sanders said the woman couldn't win. Sanders strongly says that that wasn't true. After that, a lot of progressive groups were really quite worried about the possibility of not only splitting the vote because of this feud, but like both of them going down together, right, sinking together because voters would be turned off by them fighting, having a sort of replay of the Dean Geffert situation, the murder-suicide, right? They put out statements afterwards, you know, calling for progressive unity. There was clearly a lot of anxiety around that. The thing I think that makes this interesting is that, yes, the progressives are split by having these two candidates, but so are the moderates. Joe Biden, you know, is clearly the moderate in the lead, but there's also Klobuchar, there's also Pete Buttigieg, and then a million other people that have, some of them have tried and dropped out, right, to occupy that moderate lane. Others are still in it. There's a lot of divisions going on within the party right now.
Yeah, I found it interesting the president actually going after Mike Bloomberg, because it seems like Bloomberg is not really resonating. But then again, Bloomberg's playing an entirely different game, isn't he?
He is playing a very different game. The game involves ignoring the first four states, early states, which is entirely, basically unprecedented, and then starting to play in Super Tuesday. And he's running a national campaign. He is spending tons of money on ads, just an unprecedented amount of money right now. He is staffing up at these levels that, like, are just crazy, paying people extremely well. And so he's there, you know, on Super Tuesday. And if, let's say, a progressive is in the lead, well, then, you know, he's there to try to take them on. But if Biden's in the lead, or if it's more divided between Biden and another progressive, then Bloomberg could complicate, you know, the moderates' path to victory. So, I'm also interested in the fact that Trump is going after him a little bit, but he is spending just a ton of money, and he's rising in the polls. He is now tied with Pete Buttigieg for fourth in national polling.
Holly, I see Bloomberg ads running on CBS3 every morning.
I see them all the time, too. I mean, that's so weird. Like, in Pennsylvania, we don't usually see these ads, you know.
Bloomberg's running this amazing, expensive campaign. So I guess I got to ask the question then. I had always heard that Bloomberg was a Biden guy. How much of the Ukraine stuff is hanging around Joe Biden? When you see him up there in Iowa and he's campaigning, I've read some stories from Politico that Ukraine keeps coming up and Hunter Biden keeps coming up. I mean, how much of this stuff are voters starting to think makes Joe Biden less electable now than he was, say, 6 months ago?
So I don't follow Biden on the trail. I've seen him a couple times, but he's not my primary focus. But I will say in general, particularly at the events that I'm going to that are mostly for Sanders, impeachment does not come up a lot. I mean, it really doesn't. You know, we'll see the candidates take questions from voters about every other thing under the sun, vaping, the CIA, healthcare, like anything. And then impeachment will not come up. A lot of Democratic voters, you know, yeah, they care about it, but it's not the issue that's, you know, going to put food on the table for them. It's not the most important issue for them.
Interesting.
But it could affect electability. I mean, it's an interesting question, or perceived electability. So could Biden's mere performance on the campaign trail. However, it really, you know, neither one of those things has played out, I don't think, quite yet. Biden is still, you know, first in the national polls, and he's still seen as the most electable among Democratic voters.
But Bernie's surging.
He is, yeah. There was a poll out today that had him first in New Hampshire. Still second in the national polling behind Biden, but he's ticking upward. I thought that was pretty interesting after the Warren Sanders feud last week at the debate. You know, we had no idea what was going to happen. As of right now, since the debate, I looked at the Real Clear Politics average. Sanders is up almost 3 percentage points, and Warren is down almost 2.
Holly Otterbein, thank you so much. Covering Bernie and the progressives for Politico, and heading to Iowa again today. So listen, thanks, and stay safe. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.